You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel and chapter 12. And as we have spent a little bit of time of late looking at the prophets, Old Testament prophets, as they look into the future. So as we put each one in order and look at them, we get the pieces that go to help us understand the picture. You need the pieces to understand the picture. And so here's all these coming together, and here's Daniel. And Daniel is very, very active in looking into the future. So Daniel, as we shared in the last, this is his last vision, if you may want to say it that way. God is giving him the last bit of information, chapters 10, 11, and 12. And so therefore, as he is getting this, remember now, after this, this is in 536 BC, and the temple is being started, temple started, and in the process, Cyrus, etc., has Cyrus is there in Persia. The temple is started. Daniel's going to die, etc. And so this is the end for that. So chapters 10, 11, and 12. So here we are in chapter 12 as we were, and we looked at verses 12, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And as we did so, we reminded ourselves that I'll read verse 4 to just pick up the movement. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we shared that together. And keeping in mind, if you would, you'll notice it says the time of the end. And we looked at the word time, the courses of time, the everything that occurs in time, a given time for something, that's the word. And then you have the little word end, E-N-D. And E-N-D, that's the word. And that word end means the end, the end, the end. The end of the year, boom, no more. Once it comes, end of the year. The end of something, once you die, the end. That's where you use the word, E-N-D, the end, the end, the end, the end of something. That's the word. There's another word you'll see as we're coming up, different end, but this is the end, the end. Now, and so therefore, again, in verse 4, seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, etc., and knowledge shall be increased. And we shared all those things a little bit. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and here they are, and the book is shut up, sealed, no more. There's no more to say. Daniel stops. Jeremiah stops, etc. Ezekiel stops. Everything stops. So, and keeping in mind, going back to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, when Jeremiah ends, but when we read and studied the chapters of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, go over and you'll remember chapter 23, verse 20. And as we're putting little pieces together, it will help us now to keep in mind these pieces. And in chapter 23, going, if I may, straight in the light of the context, I can even read verse 19. 23:19. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked, God's exercising judgment. Now, verse 20, the anger of the Lord shall not return until until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly with understanding. You won't know it now, but when it happens, you'll know it. You'll know it. As I don't know. When it happens, you'll know it, God said. You guys may not understand it, but when it happens, the people that are going through it, are they going to understand it? Over to chapter 30. Again. Chapter 30, the end, verse 24. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it. God got to exercise judgment. And until he have performed the intents of his heart. And when God has done everything, then in latter days you shall consider and understand it when it happens. When it happens, say, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in, think of Daniel chapter 2 and all of those, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, all of that, and say, well, it's never going to happen, but it did happen. And the pages of history, prophecy, all happen. All that God has said has happened and will happen. And you don't, people don't know. It will happen. And when it happens, you who are alive will know what happens. You'll know. You'll know what happens. Think of the jumping way ahead out of nowhere here. Just think if the Lord comes now. Right now. I don't hate to disturb you, but if the Lord took you, you have to be disturbed. And you're going to be taken. And who's going to? No one believes. No one believes. But will we believe then? That's the question. When you're transformed, will you believe? Sure. In fact, you know 1 Corinthians 15. God says you're going to be changed in a nanosecond. When I do it, it'll be so quick, there's no language you know. Just like that. Now, back to our study, thinking what we're thinking about. Well, back over to Daniel. Daniel in chapter 12. And you will note, until the time of the end, we shared to keep that in mind, a God's going to do what he does. Yes, he does it, and all the everything has it as an ending, etc. As we read in Lamentations, and all of that. Now, up and Ecclesiastes. Now, picking up, please. God is outworking that, and here we are waiting. God is going to do everything he said in the way that he said it. Everything's going to come to a full end in God's time, in God's way. All the times are in his hands. And we shared that last time, chapter 31, Psalm, etc., 15. My times are in your hands. There's the same word. My times are in your hand. Now, keeping that in mind, I guess, go to Psalm 39 for a moment. Over to Psalm 39, and picking up, if I may. And you remember David said that. My times are in his hand. And here's David again, Psalm 39. David, help us some more. Chapter 39, may I go, sliding verse verse 2, I guess. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, thinking, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, here's David going through what he does. And in the process, in verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end, my end, A-E-N-D, end. Make me to know my end. Everything comes to an end. It has to come to an end, either by rapture or death for believers. It has to come to an end. Make me to know mine end, in verse 4, and the measure of my days, that it is, that I may know. What are you seeking to be educated, David? Yes. I want to know how frail I am. I am dust. I'm going back to dust. I am as the flower of the field, as a blade of grass, here and gone. God, help me to understand my humanity, that I might understand your deity. Help me to understand, God. It isn't about my humanity or my dustiness. It's about you, about your awesome person. We are made in your image and likeness to know you. So David, a little more. Behold, verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. I'm 150 years old. That's nothing. 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 Your age, my age, my time on earth is nothing. Nothing, God. Frail I am. Not yet. I want to have that. I want to have that correct and healthy and holy and happy relationship to God that keeps me real, so that I enjoy the reality of my being and the reality of being saved. Because you're made for eternity. So therefore, in chapter 39, behold, make me to know my handbreadth of my age. It is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best, his best state. You live so many years, you do so much, good or bad, right or wrong. Every man in his best state is altogether vanity, chasing the wind. Your humanity, if you miss the deity, you miss the whole ball game. You're just a breath, a piece of dust. But where's somebody? Are we really? And we try to do. How do we do it? Well, this is our time on earth. If you were a communist, Marxist, whatever, evolutionist, or what are we? We're an overgrown plant. Isn't that encouraging? You're in a gold plant. Somehow, things bumped together in forever, and out of it came a whale, or came a monkey, and you came. And you came. Wow. And what are you going to do? You haven't gone anywhere. We ought to keep evolving. But we don't. We don't. Where's evolution going? Nowhere. That's why communism got so powerful. Because evolution came with communism. That's why you could do Marxists and all that and put that together with evolution. You don't believe you're anything anyway. So people are expendable. That's why communism could kill not thousands, millions. Millions of people. And you'll never hear about it. You have to read it. Read the books that are written about it. That someone took time. But no one wants to talk about it. So now, I don't want to get sidetracked. Now, surely it's vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. So that's just a side thought on the, as we move here, to keep in mind you have an end. You have an end. And you have, there's nothing wrong with having an end. You're going to be glad. When you're 20 years old, you may not be. But as you age and go down the corridor of time, you're going to wish there's some hope somewhere, because all it is going, not, you don't go uphill. You go downhill, and you hope there's something. God said, stop looking at that. I already crucified you. I'm done. I'm finished with the job. You just enjoy your newness of what? Your newness of life. Walk in your newness of life. I've already terminated the whole thing. So the whole thing, I'm reading. So therefore, reckon yourself dead. Dead. What's so? Well, I'm so. No, you're not. You, God, we just read it in Psalm 39. You're dust. Your days are as the flower of the field. So don't get so huffy and puffy. Don't be doing that. Don't you know you're only here for a moment? And apart from my saving grace, said God, you done got nothing. And therefore, you want to be most excited that as you get along, as you learn, you don't want you to think about it when you're 20. But you do want to think about it. I do want to understand when I become 21 and 22. I want to understand my frailty. So as I go down the corridor of time, I'm going to be very conscious of your awesomeness, your end. I have an end. We all have an end apart from the Lord's return. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, back over to Daniel. That was just a little side trip to think about in the light of what we're doing. So, back over to Daniel in chapter 12. And you will note, in chapter 12, God is out working, waiting. Daniel's waiting for more. And verse 5. So, in verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the one side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. That's the Tigris River, not the Euphrates River. Chapter 10, and in verse 4, that's the beginning of what Daniel is looking at, chapter 10, 11, and 12. And chapter 10, verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that's the Tigris River. So you have to guess, he's still by the river. He's standing there. That's where all of this is happening, as God is helping his mind move. Now, and so we come back over to chapter 12. He's by the river. And picking up on the bank, and the other, and behold, there stood other two, one on the one side in the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. In other words, an angel is on each side of the bank of the Tigris River, and over it is the Lord. The Lord's there in his pre-incarnate, remember the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. He can never do it again. And I've shared all that. He can never do it again, because when he was born and he united himself to the perfect humanity, born in the babe in Bethlehem of Judea, and when he united himself in his wonderful, unique, the incarnation, when he did that, he will never be again seen as the angel of the Lord. He's locked in. Why is that so wonderful? Because he's seated. He, in his perfect humanity, he's seated right there with God, in God the Father. And you know what? He's seated. He's not going to get rid of it. Get rid of it. No, we're going to get rid of it. You can't get rid of your humanity, God, because, and you can't get rid of it. And that's the assurance. Ephesians 2 and 6 and 7. We're seated in heavenly places. And you're there, God, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Why? Because you're there in his perfect humanity. And God has saved us so that he makes it possible for us to be able. So here's God over the river, the angel of the Lord. And there's the over the river. Here's an angel on each side. Now what's happening? Daniel's being a witness in verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end? Remember the end of these wonders. How long? They, angels, we shared, don't know. They only know what they God makes known to be known, and otherwise they don't know. So the angels wanted to know, how long is it, God, before the end? And the end of what? Over in chapter 11, you remember when you come to chapter 11, you're going into the middle of the tribulation, 7 years, 3.5 years, boom, right in the middle. When you come to the middle, that's when things changed. Everything changes, and the Antichrist puts his image in the temple, as you know, Matthew 24:15, puts his image in the temple. Everyone run as fast as you can, because the devil is now going to go in the Antichrist, and by the Antichrist, put his image in the temple. Temple has been built. The image is going to be down. I mean, everything's down. The image of, they're going to make an image of the Antichrist, like Daniel chapter 2, the image of a man. Chapter 2, image of a man, slide over to the man of sin, is going to be in that temple. And it'll be powerful. It's an image that has power. Power to speak, power to do, power to say. And as you know, we just did artificial intelligence and all this stuff, and able to go and do, and more than that, and you know, greater intelligence and all that. They're able to go, and they're doing it. They're doing it. Not they're going to do it. They're doing it. They're just perfecting it to sell, to be able to what? To be your counselor. You don't need to think. Your computer will do it. And you're going to look to your computer and tell them how you feel, or how you, if you're happy, if you're depressed, whatever, you talk to the computer, and the computer is going to be able to help you. Not just information. It's going to be artificial, going to be able to go and do a whole lot of things for you. So all of that is control and power. And the man, the company, the people that push the buttons, they got the ball game. God is allowing the devil to do his thing, and it's going to come. That's why Revelation 13, no man may what? No man may buy or sell without the mark of the image. You can't do it. God, you can't do it. Yes, sir. Now, having said that a little bit, here they are looking up there. And humanity is going to do what it does. Now, how does Israel handle this when they're looking? Here's Israel. And remember, in chapter, over to Isaiah. And go, if you can, on your way, we'll just stop for a moment in chapter 5, which you're familiar with, to go to chapter 12, 22. Chapter 5. Daniel, Isaiah chapter 5, and you know in verse 20, the way to handle life, which is how we do it. We got Halloween coming up. Halloween illustrates this. In what sense? Well, we have evil's bad. We aren't evil, but it's when we see evil out there and we dress up like whatever it is, we do that to do it, and we do it. That's for bad. We dress up like a bad guy, but we really aren't bad. We really aren't bad, but we dress up like bad. So now, chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto him, them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If you turn it all upside down and you call good evil and evil good, then, and you know Mark chapter 7, 18 and that, that the, our old sin nature is evil. So, but if I turn it upside down, it's good. See? I'm going to make evil good and good evil. So the evil in me, I'm now going to call good. We're good. We're good people. See? Now that chapter again, 22. And if I may, picking up, please, and you'll catch the context of it, verse 12. In that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness. In other words, there should have been repentance, should have been a sense of judgment, of God's judgment, and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, verse 13, joy and gladness, oxen, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, and the attitude to handle the judgment of God. Isaiah and in the 10 tribes in the north, the 2 tribes in the south. Let us eat, verse 13, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we shall die. That's an attitude. It's your day. Do the best you can. You'll die. We don't want to think about it, but that's what we do. Now, so that's the attitude, a mood. Now, Daniel and chapter 12. And so the angels want to know to what end, to what end, to what purpose. Where is it all going to go? Where is this all? How long is this going to be to the end? Verse 6. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And we started to say, here's the 7-year tribulation, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. 7 years. And in the middle, see that? Over to chapter 7. And in verse 7:25, and he shall speak, it's the Antichrist, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. He'll be able to do it. Given his hand until how long can he pull this off? A time and times and a dividing of time. That comes out to 3.5 years, 1260 days, 30 days in a month, etc., etc. So, 3.5 years. So, when's it going to be? He's going to be able to do this in the world. He's going to get the world to try to worship him by way of his image in the temple. So now, And he's going to do it. Not in the first 3.5. He builds and builds and builds, and everything's going on. And that's when he's in the middle of the tribulation. So that's over in chapter 11, which is what you read in chapter 11. And in verse, going directly, if I can, to verse 44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to take away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, the red, etc., in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end. There's the word end. He's going to come to an end, and none shall help him. So what are the angels asking? They want to know, when is the end? When is the end? And our Lord answers what they already know, but didn't put it together. Anyway, chapter 12. So therefore, if I can, verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half a time, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So taking that apart a little bit, what's he going to do? He's going to, in his perfect humanity, Matthew, 1 Corinthians 15, 25, 20, 26, 27, 28, what's he going to do? The Son of Man, his perfect humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to go and give all, when he puts everything in order, he's going to give all of it, present it to God the Father as in his perfect humanity. That's how he's putting it together. God sent his Son to redeem it, redeem what man caused on planet Earth when he sinned. So here God, the Son of Man, is going to go and look to God the Father. My Father, that's what he said. He's going to give it into his hand. So now, what's he doing by the river? He raises his hand to God, the Father, and he looks to God and says, listen, is he going to answer the angels' questions down here? A time, a times, and a time and a half. 3.5 years, that's all he's going to have. No more time than 3.5 years. And the end for him. No more. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that's what he's going to do. They had time of end. He's going to swear. God just wants you to know, I told you, 3.5 years, Daniel 9:27, etc., etc. But now I'm telling you again. I told you what I told you I'm going to do. That's how it's going to go. I'm going to go and do what I have to do in the way that I have to do it. So therefore I'm going to swear. I swear. No, God, are you going to tell us the truth? Or are you going to tell us a lie? God said, I can't lie. It's impossible for me to lie. So therefore I'm going to tell you. But I want you to know, as a angel of the Lord, I want you to know that I'm telling you, it's going to be. I swear, it's going to be just like I said, 3.5 years. Now, having said that, and he swear by that, now put it together. God, you did that to them, and you told them it's what you're going to do. So God, that's an awesome thing when you do that. You swear like that. So God, what are you going to do for us? Well, for us, God, here we are reading it. We read it, God. And we want to understand it. So therefore, God said, listen, Hebrews chapter 6. And so therefore we go to remind ourselves, Hebrews, as you would know, as we did the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, And in the process, chapter 6, picking up, if I may, going down to verse 16. 6:16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all spirit. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. That's what you do. Do it. In court, put your hand in the Bible, used to be. Swear, but going to uphold the Constitution of these United States. I swear. Swear. No higher than that. But now, therefore, that's what men do, and we're happy. We're happy with that. That's enough. So therefore, verse 17, wherein God willing, more abundantly to show, to make it easy for us to understand, unto the heirs of promise, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, comfort, encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. God gave a promise, and God swore, and he swore. He took an oath. He said, what more do you want? I promise it. I swear I'll do it. What more do you want? I gave you my word. I told you time. I told you how long it's going to be. I told you what you need to understand. Now, hang on. And he finished that because it's very encouraging. In verse 18, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, the expectancy, the anticipation. What is that? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, so we don't get drifting all over the ocean. Both sure and steadfast, the anchor holds. We sing the hymn, my anchor holds. And which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our Lord Jesus Christ is there, and he's the anchor. And he's the anchor. He's seated. We shared it together. He's seated at the right hand of God. That's good. But when you received him as your Savior, he sat on the throne of your life, if you let him. So the God here in your heart is the God there. How can you miss out? How could you possibly miss? Impossible. Impossible. The God here is there. That's why he said you're already seated. You're already there. It's your hope. I anchored you there. I'm seated there. I'm seated in your heart. It's locked in. Go for it. Understand it. So you don't have to get like Psalm 39. I want to know my end. You betcha. I don't want to get huffy about it. No, I try to go one day at a time. That's all you guys do, you know. One day at a time. And God, you know my end. But my end is already, what? Answered. Where is my end answered? When you died on Calvary's cross, you ended my little life. And you gave me yours. You're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away, and everything is what? Become new. I did it already. I did it already. So here's Daniel wants to know. Over to Daniel. And Daniel chapter 12. So here's the angels want to know. And picking up, please, in the light of that. And back to chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time, when he shall have accomplished accomplished, completed, intensively. We're going to work it out, to scatter, to divide, to break into pieces, to do it, to destroy. When he shall have accomplished, to scatter, to break into pieces, all the break into pieces, after scatter, the power of the holy people, of the holy people. What are you going to do, God? I'm going to take 7 years, and I'm going to go and pulverize Israel, as it were. I'm going to scatter them. I'm going to make them feel judgment for 7 years. 7 years, I'm going to do it. That's all. And the last 3.5 years are worse than ever. Now, so having said that, and I'm going to accomplish what? Their pride. They think they're somebody. They're trying to be part of the nations. They don't want to be like, I want them to be like my son, said God the Father. I want them to be like my son. I want them to know and be my people, be my nation. But they're proud. They're proud. They think they're somebody, and they don't understand. And therefore, I'm going to humble them. I'm going to humble them. I'm going to break their pride and knock them out. And then they're being knocked out. They're going to wake up. And Ezekiel chapter 10, 13, 12, 10. In one day, I'm going to come. Turn there. Why not, since we're doing it? Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, if I can. I said Ezekiel. I didn't mean Ezekiel. Zechariah, excuse me. Zechariah. Zechariah in chapter 12. What are you going to do, God? I'm going to humble them. And when I step out, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to step out of heaven and every eye will see me on all planet Earth in some awesome way. Every eye will see me. They'll see me when that happens. Chapter 12, Zechariah, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And what is that going to do for them? And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, crucified. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They're all going to be humbled. They're stupid to say, we stupidly crucified him and we rejected him. And they're going to be wide awake. God said, I'm going to humble them and break their spirit, their proudness. They're my people. They need to honor me. Therefore, and Zechariah, as you know, while you're here, Zechariah in chapter 13, what do you know? God's going to go and take, here's all Israel's going to be judged, etc. And in chapter 13, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And with the tribulation, I'm going to get two-thirds of them, two-thirds of three parts, two-thirds are all going to die. I'm going to let a third of them live. after the tribulation to go into the millennium. A third of them, that's all. I'm going to take them down. I'm going to reduce them. I'm going to do it. Back over to Daniel. We aren't doing this very good for you, but hope you get a little bit. All little pieces. Daniel and chapter 12. And picking up, please. In chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of rivers of water, when he held up his right hand and his left hand in heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be a time, times, and a half a time, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. I'm going to break them. Everything's going to be, like I said, all going to be. And what are you going to do? You're going to humble Israel. Israel, were you paying attention when Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 4, Daniel, were you paying attention when Nebuchadnezzar, the top of the pile, when I sent him for 7 years to be a wild animal out in the field, you all looked at him. There he is, one wild, kooky guy out there in the middle of nowhere looking like an animal, eating like an animal, feeling like an animal. And I gave him 7 years to think about it. And at the end of 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar said, "What on earth am I doing out here looking at himself?" As it were, as he looked into the pool of water, as he looked and saw himself. Wow. That's what Israel, 7 years, you're going to be. You're going to feel like Nebuchadnezzar. But then you're going to wake up. So wait, too bad. You could have just confessed your sin, and I would have forgiven it in one moment. But you didn't want to confess, and therefore you lived with the consequences of not confessing. You lived with the dumb feelings of disappointment, discouragement, depression, and all the other things that are in your life, and you could have got rid of them, but you didn't do it. And that's what we do as humans more than we want. So, therefore, in Daniel chapter 7, and picking up if I can, and verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And thus the word end is not the end. This is the different end. This is a different end. This end is, as you come to the end, what is that? Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, etc., 44, 45, as you read them. Well, what Daniel wants to know some details, more details, of during the 3.5 years. That's why God give me some more details, and then the end. I'm like the angels, said Daniel. I would like to know, how does it all work? Who comes, the king, Antichrist comes down, and the Arabs go up, Egypt and Syria and all of that come, and they all do different things and attack each other and do all these different things. How does that go? I would like to know, said Daniel. Forget it, said God. Chapter 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. End is sealed. You don't need any more. Boy, do I wish I knew how that was going to be. You don't need it. You don't need it. But like we did in Jeremiah 23, when the end comes, the people that are living in it, are they going to know it's the end? They're going to know what I said way back then. Other people don't care. Don't care. But you will then, when it happens.